welcome to Only Believe, where we have begun to start our Acts series this morning. Amen? Before we do any action of preaching the word, let us pray. Father, we just come before you in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I just humble myself before you today. Father, and I ask that you would lead and guide us, Holy Spirit. Father, that we would not grieve you, that we would not set you aside, that we would not ignore you, but we would give you room to move in and through all of us. Father, through what we hear, through what we see, even down to the words that I speak. Father, let this service be about you and the action of you revealed through ordinary people, just like all of us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. It's good to be with you this morning. If you have not signed up for a small group, this Sunday is the last service you have that opportunity. I encourage you, it is a very short session this summer. We only do 7 weeks, but we encourage everyone to grab a group, find freedom for those 7 weeks. And if you join, commit yourself to give the time for that 7 weeks for the Holy Spirit to begin a work and complete a work in your heart through freedom of being in a group with other people and sharing one with another and just being with people that are going through or in and around the same thing that you are. So if you have not signed up for a small group, be sure that you reach out and do that today. And without any further ado, of course, happy Memorial Day. I know everyone thinks it's a four-day weekend, but it's much, much greater than that. And I was reminded as I was standing down there earlier and Pastor Rick was praying over Memorial Day, I've been in so many sporting events where they start out the same recording from the, I don't know, NHSSA something association for school. And the very first line of it says, before they sing the national anthem, "We live in a country with freedoms like no other." And then they go into this big long rant and then they play the national anthem. I remind you that someone today paid the price for you and I to sit here and freely worship. And I am so grateful for that. And there's not countries that have the abilities that we do. Therefore, oftentimes when there's a little bit of pushback from the government, a little bit of persecution, a little bit of suffering, the church loses its mind. But I tell you, as you read through the book of Acts, you're going to find persecution and suffering at an ideas list that is unbelievable and unbearable. And so we're going to break into that day. How many of you read Acts 1 through 7 this week in your devotions? Okay, good, good. So we are asking the church to read along with us, and we're preaching the sermon today will be from Acts 1 through 7. I don't think we can cover it all because it's probably not possible in the time we have today. However, we're going to touch base through a lot of that, and please feel free to dig. Get yourself and your mind and your hands dirty in the Word of God. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. And one thing reveals another and another and another. That's how God is. So let's get involved. So we're going to start today in Acts 1, 5 through 8, because I feel that if you haven't been here with us in the series, the majority of it starts here. Now let's keep in mind, the author of Acts is Luke. Yes. Luke tells us that Luke was his first writing, and that Acts is his second. So let me just put this in a synopsis for you. Luke was there when Jesus was present, and he says, this is what Jesus did. But then he writes a second book and says, but this right here, what I'm going to tell you, is how Jesus continues his work. So just because Jesus died on the cross does not mean the work of Christ in this world is done. It means that the death and resurrection of Christ was complete, but that it lives on through the Acts. And they're going to show us what happens. So that's what it is. So in Acts 1, 5 through 8, I'm just going to give this as a synopsis. The Bible tells us that Jesus commands his disciples and his followers to go to Jerusalem. He's resurrected. He's not ascended to heaven, but he's no longer dead, but he's definitely alive. He's flesh. They even gave him fish to eat. to prove that he was real. And he tells them, but I need you to go and wait because the gift that my Father has promised you is going to come. And when it comes, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my, that means Jesus's witnesses. That was his words. You'll be Jesus's witnesses. Let me just tell you this. A witness simply sits on a stand and tells what Jesus has done. Right? Some of us get that confused. I'm going to talk about that a little later. My witness is telling people about me everywhere. In Jerusalem, throughout Judea, and in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Being a witness, we say this in our new members class when we talk about sharing the gospel, because we are an evangelical church, Pentecostal first, but with an evangelical root. And all that means is we share the gospel because we believe what we received is good enough that it has to be shared. But a witness doesn't argue the word. Yeah, did you get that? You don't witness. I remember when I was on the street witnessing team, my dad threw me out there. I was only 13, 14 years old, and he threw me out there with a group of people that just argued with people about the Bible. It got really scary. They'd be like, well, I don't believe in your Jesus. Well, let me tell you why you should. And I'm just standing there. I stepped behind Troy. That was the guy's name that I was behind. I just stepped behind him because he was much bigger than I was. I'm like, this is going to get ugly. They get angry. They get in shouting matches. And somehow that's how we shared the gospel. People don't want to argue the Bible. A witness doesn't argue on the stand. A witness simply tells what Jesus has done. And you can tell what Jesus has done in the past. You can tell what he's done yesterday, today, but you can tell him what he's done for you. There's no one that can argue what he's done for you because it's your story. It's your place and what God's done for you. And if you'll just share it, they don't want to know what you know. They want to know who you know. So if you think sharing the gospel is hard, you just got a 2-minute lesson on why it's so easy. All you have to do is say what you were and what you are now and how God has changed you from being that to being this. And you will be his witnesses in all of the ends of the earth. It's that simple. Now, let's turn to Acts 2. So the first chapter is literally about being filled with the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit comes. But we're going to go on to 2 and listen. 1-4 we're going to read. It says, On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. It was a spirit of unity because all were present. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven like a roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what had looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each one of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. For some of you believers that have a King James Bible, it says that they were all in one accord, meaning the spirit of unity had come upon the church. They were all waiting on the same gift. The same idea. They didn't know what they were waiting for. They just knew it was a gift. And if it was a gift from Jesus' Father, it must be good. Amen. And then the word, then. Then is a group, a body of believers suddenly came. What was promised had finally come. And the church was born. They breathed in the Holy Spirit and the church age was born. All you hear about before the book of Acts is Jesus and his disciples and the followers. But when the Holy Spirit came to dwell inside of man, now the church age had begun. And the kingdom of God had now come to this earth to set up its rule and reign. Remember, the disciples thought that Jesus was going to sit on a throne in the earth and overthrow the government. But that wasn't God's idea at all. He was going to come and sit upon the throne of our hearts and overthrow the government of our flesh and create in you and I this new kingdom that would live differently than the world. It would be significantly different. And he would live inside of us and walk this life out with us. Amen. Not beside us, not around us, but in you and I. The first church service was with about 120 people, all in one mind, all in one place, waiting on the same gift, and all were filled with the gift that came with an initial evidence of a language that they had never heard. No one had ever spoke these languages before. They didn't know what they were saying, but the people from another part of the world had come to this service, and they're like, I understand what you're saying. How do I understand that? It was an extraordinary work of the Holy Spirit in ordinary men and women like you and I. That evidence, that initial evidence. I looked up the word initial. Do you know that it means the entrance of? The initial entrance of the Holy Spirit came in the evidence of speaking in an unknown language. Whew. You realize that's supernatural. Church, we cannot forget. Listen, if you write nothing else down, I have heard this said by a teacher that I listen to. He says, salvation is the greatest gift for the world. But the Holy Spirit, don't ever forget this. The Holy Spirit is the greatest gift ever given to the church. Do you realize that we would be no different than any other religion, no different than anything else if our Christ had not risen from the dead and imparted into you and I the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, which is still present with us? It come with power. It comes with signs, it comes with wonders, it comes with a demonstration of the Word of God. That power is so important to you and I, so important, and we cannot live this life without it. The Holy Spirit, the greatest gift to the church. Then we see on down that Peter begins to address the crowd. There's a crowd of people outside this place where they are in the upper room. And they're hearing all this language happen. And they're like, surely these people must have lost their mind. They're drunk. Listen to them babbling. How many have ever heard that the infilling of the Holy Spirit sounds like babble? Careful not to grieve the Holy Spirit. Careful not to speak against him, right? That we honor this gift that God gave us, that we respect it, that we give it room, that we don't grieve it with sin, that we don't cut him off because of our time frame, but that we allow him to move. Peter steps up to the plate and he begins to teach about what's happening, and he uses the Old Testament from Joel, and he says, in the last days, God said that he will pour out his Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servant, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit. They will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below. And he begins to preach what he knows has been prophesied of this Holy Spirit that will come. After Peter preaches to a crowd, for all these people outside the upper room, 3,000 people hear and accept Christ as their personal Savior that day. 3,000 added to the church in one day. I think that's a good church service. Praise the Lord, 3,000. Now we've got a church of 3,120 people. We got 120 filled with the Spirit, but we got 3,000 attending church. I think our numbers need to come up a little bit, engage, right? Let's turn to one of my favorite church scriptures. It's Acts 2:42 through 47. This is one of my favorite because I think that if the modern church would model itself after the early church, we might see something different. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings and to the fellowship. And remember, the apostles' teachings were from the written word of God in the Old Testament. That's what they were preaching. And then it had to shift over because everything Jesus taught them was new. It was a new covenant. Remember, Jesus says, I didn't come to do away with the old. I came to fulfill the old and give you a better covenant. That's no one else's words, but Jesus's words. So now that's why you and I live from the New Testament. It's not that the Old Testament isn't good. It's not that it's done away with. It's there's a new way that Jesus has chose to build his kingdom. That was the apostles' teaching. And the fellowship, and to fellowship, and to sharing meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all. And the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and their possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day and met in homes for the Lord's Supper and shared their meals with great generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of the people. And each day, the Lord added to their fellowship and those who were being saved. We see again a spirit of unity, a spirit of community, a body of believers, and God was building something. He was doing something different. Their hearts were full of generosity to help those in need within their community of believers, because there were some that had less than the others. So they were like, well, don't go back to your old way. Stay here. I have money to help you. But we got to keep doing what God's asked us to do. We're building something. They knew something was happening, and they had just seen the miraculous happen. They just followed what was going on, and they fellowshiped one with another. They prayed. They remembered what the cross had done through the death and resurrection. The gospel would have never been spread if these people had not chose to go and wait for the gift. Never. Never. But we see here that it took discipline. It took focus. It took commitment. It took sacrifice. It even took money to build the early church. It was these extraordinary acts through the Holy Spirit of ordinary people who believed that Jesus was the Son of God. Amen. As I was reading these seven chapters, I read them over and over because I wanted to see the story in a bigger picture. And something popped out to me. I noticed that in chapter 2, Peter steps up and preaches. But is this the same Peter that in just a couple books before was the one denying Jesus? And so I started asking. So I began to dig and look. And here's what it says. Did you realize in chapter 3, Peter literally prays for a crippled beggar who miraculously gets healed after 40 plus years of being crippled? And he's miraculously healed. But this was the Peter that walked on water and began to sink? Was this the same Peter that when Jesus was being arrested, that he took a sword and cut off the soldier's ear because he took matters into his own hands? I think I know this is the same Peter, but am I sure? So I started looking and dealing with some things. By the way, his name is Simon as a fisherman when he meets Jesus. But in his relationship with Jesus, Jesus assigns him a new name, which is Peter. So let's go look at who Peter was. Luke 22, 31 through 34. Here's here's what it says. It says, Simon, Simon, these are Jesus' words. If you have a Bible with red letters, that's what that means. Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift each of you like wheat. But I have pleaded in prayer for you, Simon, that your faith should not fail. So when you have repented and turned to me again, strengthen your brothers. Well, wait a minute. He hasn't sinned. But Jesus is already speaking to the fact that, so when you have repented and turned to me again, strengthen your brothers. Let me just say, Jesus might know a little bit more than we do. Peter says, Lord, I am ready to go to prison with you and even die with you. But Jesus said, Peter, let me tell you something. Before the rooster crows tomorrow morning, you will deny me three times that you even know me. I think there's something important that you and I identify, is that Jesus knew more about Peter than he knew about himself. See, you and I think that the way we live in this world, if we just put up a persona long enough, that people aren't going to really know what's inside of us. But I'm here to tell you that Jesus looks upon the heart. Last week, I started this review thing. I read this scripture about David, how he was praying, God, search within me and look for any unclean thing within me that you could identify and pretty much rip it out and fix it. But I thought, wait a minute. David was a man after God's own heart. But David knew that there were motives. There were agendas in his heart that were incorrect. He didn't want them there. So I began, you know, Randy's told the story about how I write the word quiet on my hand, because often my mouth gets ahead of where it should be. I'm just saying. Sometimes it gets a little out of control. So last week I started writing the word quiet on my hand, but then I put a little M underneath it. Not only are you to quiet your mouth, but what was your motive behind speaking? See, God looks at the intent of one's heart. God knew who Peter was on the inside, and he had shared it with Jesus. In fact, he said, the devil seeks me if he can sift you like wheat. Someone had to allow it to be done. And prophesies literally that you will deny me. Jesus knew what was in him. And oftentimes I think of a fruit. You know, you pick up an orange, you pick up an apple, you squeeze them. Do you expect apple juice out of an orange? No. Because what's inside the orange is what's going to come out. Often you and I are squeezed by the enemy. But what happens when we're squeezed is we thought we were Christians, and what comes out should be Christian-like when it really looks like the devil. That was free. No one said amen on that. Come on, guys. I've been squeezed before. Good. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Let's go on down to Luke 22, 54, 60, because this is where literally what he predicts happens. It says in 54, it says, so they arrested him and led him to the high priest's home. This is talking about Jesus, and Peter followed at a distance. The guards lit a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat around it, and Peter joined them there. A servant girl noticed him in the firelight and began staring at him. Finally, she said, this man, I think he was one of Jesus's followers. But Peter denied it. Woman, he said, I don't even know him. After a while, someone else looked at him and said, yeah, you must be one of them. No, man, I'm not, Peter retorted. About an hour later, someone else insisted, this must be one of them because he's a Galilean too. But Peter said, man, I don't know what you are talking about. And immediately while he was speaking, the rooster crowed. At that moment, the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Suddenly, did you hear the word suddenly? The Lord's words flashed through Peter's mind. Before the rooster crows tomorrow morning, you will deny three times that you even know me. And Peter left the courtyard weeping bitterly. Let's remember something about the word suddenly. The word suddenly in the same place as the word suddenly in the book in Acts that we read where the Holy Spirit came. First of all, know this. Your suddenly is coming in a certain situation. When the word of God speaks, this is the written word of God. When you read it and you believe it, your suddenly is coming. Your suddenly is coming because God does not lie. But when God looked at Peter and knew the intention of Peter's heart and what was inside of it, he knew and had already spoke what was going to come, whether good or bad. There are things in this Bible that don't seem good for you and I in the end times. Our suddenly is going to come because the written word of God has predicted an end. I hope to God that that comes through the rapture. But if it does not, let Acts be the demonstration of you and I's faith. Let Acts, through persecution, through suffering, be our action that God will still use you and I in the last days, ordinary people, that His Holy Spirit would not be silenced, no matter what would happen in the United States, no matter what would happen in Haiti, where three Christians just gave their lives, where their family was literally murdered and martyred for the gospel's sake. Would it be you and I? I'm telling you, church, I don't know. I think I could. I think I would. But the Holy Spirit would have to help me be what He needed me to be. Oh, that we would be a church without, not without the Holy Spirit. That we wouldn't be satisfied that the Holy Spirit, I accepted Him. I accepted Jesus and I got filled. But, you know, I'm about thigh high, knee high in the Holy Spirit right now. I just don't have much time for that anymore. It takes so much work. It takes so much effort to know the voice of God. Church, the disciples gave their lives so that you and I could preach the gospel. What a Memorial Day. What a, not to take light of American Memorial Day. I don't mean that in any way, shape, or form, but far greater, before any soldier ever laid down their life for any earthly freedom, for any choice that we had. There was a freedom in the Bible that came forth from the disciples, spreading the gospel of the word. Peter had to rise up from a place where he denied Jesus and turn into something different in Acts. That's huge. That's huge. Listen, Peter is, let's go to Acts 4, 8 through 13. This is where it comes back. And this is what it says. Beautiful. 8 through 13. It says, then Peter, by the way, Peter and John have gone and healed a crippled man. They have gone and prayed over him, and the Holy Spirit has done the work, but they were the one laying their hands on him. The council has brought them in. Mind you, this is not a government council. This is a church council. Yeah. These are people who think they know more than Jesus, and they're there to persecute the people trying to bring forth the New Testament instead of the Old Testament. They're trying to say that there's a better way, and here's what Jesus taught us. So they're spreading the gospel of the Jesus way, not the old way where there had to be a temple, not this old worship things where there had to be a sacrifice, but a new way. This is what they say. It says, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of our people. That proves these were people who believed in God. Are we being questioned today because we've done a good deed for a crippled man? Do you want to know how he was healed? Let me clearly state to all of you and to all the people of Israel that he was healed by the powerful name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the man you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead. For Jesus is the one referred to in the scripture where it says, the stone that you builders rejected has now become the cornerstone. There is salvation in no one else. God has given no name under heaven by which we must be saved. Listen to 13. The members of the council were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John. For they could see that they were ordinary men with no special training in the scriptures. They also recognized them as the men who had been with Jesus. Ordinary men. Ordinary men and women. Remember, the ordinary fisherman whose name was Simon, who's now been named Peter, who became a believer and a follower of Jesus. It means disciple. That's you and I. He was the first one to look at him and say, "You are the Messiah." And the Lord knew that he only knew that because God had showed him. He was the one who walked on water, who took his eyes off of Jesus and became fearful and began to sink because of life's pressure and the storm around him. And Jesus reaches down and lifts him up. He was the one who took matters into his own hands because he didn't think that Jesus was going to go by the way of the cross. He didn't think that Jesus had to die in order to set up his kingdom. So he got fearful. He took matters into his own hand and slices a soldier's ear off. And Jesus picks up the man's ear and puts it back on, and it's miraculously healed. Peter was ordinary like you and I. Peter walked in days of fear. Peter walked in places where he took matters into his own hands because he thought he knew better than God. Peter was the one that when the storms of life came and he began to sink, Jesus came and rescued him. Just like you and I. How many storms of life have taken us off focus, takes our commitment away, takes our purpose and just shifts it around, and you think, what else can happen in this life? How many more things can happen? It's like the devil doesn't stop sending something your way. But if you'll keep your eyes on Jesus, he's right there. This is the same Peter. We can see in Matthew 16:18, Jesus restores him to the disciples' group. And before Peter even denied him, he looks at him and says, "Simon, Peter," names him. The word Peter means rock. And this is what he says: "Upon this rock will I build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." Before Christ knew, before it had ever been written in the scriptures of what Peter would do, he had prophesied exactly who and what Peter was, and yet he still chose, in spite of Peter's weaknesses, in spite of his fear, in spite of his discouragement, in spite of his need to take control in the garden and cut the ear off. Jesus looked at him and said, "Upon you will I build my church." Upon you who looks to the world to be a failure. Upon you who it looks like you even denied me and you couldn't even stand for me in the midst of persecution, I will build my church. Even the council of the church noticed that what had happened in the upper room with Peter, he was no longer the same person. He was now filled with something stronger and bigger than he was, and it had empowered him, it had emboldened him to speak about Jesus of Nazareth and to tell who had done the miracle. At this moment, Peter was ready to die. He was ready to lay it all on line. He's like, "I've done denied him. I done messed up. I know that isn't the way." He wept bitterly for what he had done. It hurt his heart so bad. But he thought what was in him was enough. I think what's in me is enough. But when the pressure of life comes, but when the struggle and the fear of this life, when I can't see what's really going to happen, when I really don't know the future, and I don't have control, and I want to take that back, and I'm fearful of decisions that have to be made or decisions that people around me can make that would affect me, God's right there. Amen. He's not building up on me. His church is built upon you and I, people that are imperfect, people that don't have it together. And it's not because of anything that you and I have done. It's because of what Jesus has done. And the Holy Spirit comes in And that gift emboldens you to speak strongly about the God that you know. And you become the witness of what he's done in your life and how the Holy Spirit leads and guides you through this life. Amen. But church, I'm here to remind you today that if you don't believe, if you're only knee high with the Holy Spirit, and you've been filled with him, you've been filled by his work, you've been filled with the initial evidence of the speaking in tongues, and he's in you and moving in you. Do you know that you can just get bored with him? You can just have him every day and not even know it? And not even pay attention to the still small voice anymore in our hearts? Do you know that you can walk by people that are hurting? Walk by people that are broken and distressed, and the Holy Spirit be knocking, and you can't hear it because your spirit's right here. Oh God, that you would fill your church again. Tip us with your spirit, tip us to overflowing, that they really see you, that they really see the extraordinary Holy Spirit inside of us. That it would be so full of him that there is no more of us left. Amen. I think of the story that Randy tells, how he had this jack machine up somewhere. I don't know. It had these big legs that come out, and then it went up really, really high. And the higher they need to go, the bigger and wider the legs need to go. But they were off kilter where he did it in a rental property. He was working on a roof or something. I don't remember, but it's my story, so don't fix it. It was a roof, a chimney, I don't know what it was. It was something really important. It had to be fixed. And he gets out there, and he's got these legs all whopper-jawed. Well, if you whopper-jaw them too far, it will stop moving and won't let it move because it's dangerous because the whopper-jaw is so bad. So obviously something happened. Well, Randy goes to fix the whopper-jaw and get the legs all fixed. But when he does, he can only get it undone if he undoes the pin from the truck hitch. So he's got this machine, the lift, hooked to his truck, but it's lifting, so he's got to release the tension and the pressure. Well, when he does, he's under it when he lifts it, and it comes down on his leg. Bam! And how many of you know that what's inside of you is going to come out? We've all been in that situation. We've all been at the point of anger. That something's happened, that there's no word you can find even helpful to describe that situation except not a good word. The point of the matter is, when life happens like that and you're squeezed in a situation like that, you know what? Get up, ask for forgiveness, and move on. And move on. The church isn't broke because of one action. The church is broke when we ignore the action of the Holy Spirit entirely and we don't even come back. Jesus already predicted when you come back, when you repent, then strengthen my people, Peter. What? What? The God of second chances. It's the God of second chances, the God of third chances for you and I. If it was good enough for the disciple, then it's good enough for me, amen? And I'm going to get back up and get back out there and expect extraordinary things to work through a girl that's ordinary just like me. But if you don't believe it, it's never going to work. You got to believe that the Holy Spirit is present and with you, and he wants to work and move through you. Even the council had noticed the boldness that he had been with Christ. Let's go to Acts 4, 29 through 33. Look again. This is when John and Peter come back to the believers to tell them what's happened. It says, and now, O Lord, hear their threats, the council's threats, and give us, your servants, great boldness in preaching your word. Stretch out your hand with healing power. May the miraculous signs and wonders be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. After this prayer, the meeting place shook, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. This is the 3,000 that they came back to talk to and to tell. Then they preached the word of God with boldness. All the believers were united in heart and mind, and they felt that what they owned was not their own, so they shared everything they had. The apostles testified powerfully to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's great blessing was upon them all. Yet again, we see prayer, community. They're dealing with the doctrine of the disciples and fellowship one with another. This was the early church. And did you notice what it said? That God's great blessing was upon them all. There's a lot of things that began to happen over the next scriptures. There was opposition in the church. There was a struggle. Some had thought the widows had been forgotten about. And so they set up a food program. But they put someone over it that was with the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you something. Leaders, you want to lead. You want to be involved. Scripture, early church design shows us that if signs and wonders, remember, it was the apostle first that did the signs and wonders. Now we've got 3,000 filled. Now they're preaching and demonstrating with boldness signs and wonders, and they're filled with the Holy Spirit. So there's a hierarchy, there's a government, even though there's a Bible. It started at the top with Jesus. It then went to his leaders of the church. Then it went to the church members. And then the church members were distributed over all the departments. But they too were filled with the Spirit. Know this, you have a desire to be in ministry. Don't ever start your ministry before first being filled with the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit was the gift to the fivefold ministry to equip the church. It doesn't just come with the evidence of speaking in tongues. It comes with 8 other gifts that are meant to build the body of Christ. Amen. And after it builds the body of Christ and it's working within us, then the members that are being built, filled with the Holy Spirit, go out to the street and to tell our story and to be witnesses. You can see later in the scripture that Stephen was one that had been appointed. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. And as Stephen went out and began to preach the word and do signs and wonders, he was caught and he was martyred for you and I. If you want a good read, you can look it up on Google. You can find out how your disciples, the disciples of the Bible, were martyred. It was awful. Peter was crucified upside down, the man we're talking about today. For he said he didn't deserve to be crucified like Jesus because he was so much less than him. Paul, who wrote 2/3 of the Bible, was beheaded for you and I. But I ask you on Memorial Day, we talk about fallen soldiers, and we appreciate our American freedom so much that when there's a pushback from any freedom in this life, we lose our minds. If they told us we couldn't pray out loud anymore, we should lose our minds. Because the scripture tells us to pray. But at the same point, when we have to pay more taxes, in which we know in the Bible that we're to render what is Caesar's, Caesar's. We're told that we're to respect authority as it is public. I don't like the taxes we pay any more than you do. Do I want to pay them? No. But the bottom line is that we will fight more for how much tax we pay than we will fight in the world to preach the gospel and use the freedom that we've already been given. Amen. Have we forgot the persecution of the early church? Have we forgot Peter standing around a fire with a hood up, trying to remain incognito, that he didn't have to say that he was one of them because he didn't want to be crucified? Church, I remind you today, the gift that we received wasn't meant to only be knee high. And it definitely wasn't meant to be thigh high. It was meant to go into all the world and to preach the gospel. It means that you and I could be consumed with this Holy Spirit and the kingdom of God that was then is still in us now. The church age has not changed. Until the Lord comes back to receive his church, we are in the church age. This is the time where Jesus believes that his disciples, his followers, will testify of him. I remember a month or two ago, I was telling you about the lady at Walmart. Remember, I was struggling passing out my card? Well, not no more. Because by faith, I believe that I received the Holy Spirit when I did. And when I did, I received an emboldening of the ability to ask and to invite people into God's kingdom. I'm not one bit afraid. I figure this, you know what? You don't like me, you'll just move on to somewhere else. But would you like to come to church with me? And then you know what the devil said this week? Well, you're teaching on that Acts series. Not many people want to hear that. You see how he lies to you constantly to get you to not be the witnesses, to get you to live with the Holy Spirit at half mass. Don't do it. Proclaim your faith. Get out there. You don't have to make people feel, how do I want to say this? You don't have to make them hate you. You don't have to make them go to your boss and say, please get me off this line, because that man witnesses to me all day. That's not what you do. You're going to lose your job. You're going to tell them about the gospel on your lunch break. You're going to share it with them, and you're going to live the gospel every single day. And when that press comes down on your finger, or you get burnt by something that happened, when you are squeezed in front of them and you don't let the world come out of you and you see that what is in you is now God, is now the Holy Spirit in you, they will believe. And when they do, that's it. That's all you got to do. You just have to share it. It's not your responsibility if they don't take it. But church, I remind you, this is Acts. This is where the church began. We can't ignore what we are called to do. Extraordinary acts through very ordinary people that believed that it could be done. You can't count yourself out that the Holy Spirit will not work through you. Just because you've made mistakes, just because you take your eyes off Jesus. Maybe you have been fearful to share. I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit has given you power and boldness to preach the Word of God, if you'll receive it. If you would, stand to your feet this morning. The way I look at it, there's three things that are available to us today. The first one is salvation for all. There's salvation for all. Some of us are born again. Some of us have backslidden, and we're no longer living that life, but we know that we need to. We're here today because someone invited us. Someone invited us to come to a series about building a church and living the Holy Spirit way, and they invited you. If you're here today in the house and you say, Pastor Nicole, I'm not right with the Lord. I don't know what my future looks like, and I don't even know that I can do this Christian thing. The good thing is, you don't have to do it. The Holy Spirit does it in you. All you have to do is say yes to Jesus. When you say yes to him, immediately, the Holy Spirit begins his work in you. I had a young lady that I was talking to the other day, and there were certain things in her life that she felt that defined her. And she didn't know how to get past that, and she hadn't accepted Christ as her personal Savior yet. And I said, you know, when you come to Jesus, you don't have to come to him perfect. I asked her, do you love Jesus? She said, yes. I said, do you believe he wants good for you? She said, yes. I said, then all you have to do is begin to desire Jesus more than you desire anything else. And when you begin to pursue Jesus and you begin to desire him, the things that you desired of this world will fall off. I don't know how I became not who I was. I just know that I'm not. And it came from one choice and one choice alone, and that was just to choose him above all other things. If you're finding yourself in that place, it's simply one choice, and it's choosing that you love him more than you love anything else in your life, and you know you need him. So if that's you today, then I want to leave a place at the altar for salvation. Number two, maybe you're here today and you're saved, you're born again, but you're not filled with this Holy Spirit living and dwelling inside of you, and you've never had the initial evidence of speaking in tongues. That's another prayer down here for you. We want every believer, just like the 120 got filled first. There were 3,000 added to the church by preaching, but later you saw, and I proved through scripture, that those 3,000 people were filled. All were filled with the Holy Spirit. If you want that gift and everything that comes with it, then we want to pray with you. And last but not least is if you are sick in your body, I heard earlier there are migraine headaches that's been going on. I'm not sure if it's, I don't know what the cause is. I just heard the Lord speak, migraine headaches. He's going to heal that today for those of you that are dealing and struggling with that. I sensed it was a woman, but that's all I have. I'm not going to not pray for any of you others that aren't. You just all come down and we don't know what woman it is, but I know that the Holy Spirit does. And he's not a respecter of persons, so he's here to heal. So salvation, infilling, and healing. Prayer team, if you would come down. Pastor Randy, Mom, I'm going to ask you to come down. Holy Spirit, those of you that were prayed for the Holy Spirit last week, I wanted to tell the story. I didn't because Pastor Randy was preaching, but our youngest, Quentin, had asked to be filled and prayed over to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And there was no evidence on the surface. But we began to just thank God that every time, and we told Quentin, every time you pray, just thank God that you received when we prayed. And we began to stand on this, and I was on the worship team, and when we were, there was a guest speaker here, and there were all these chairs along the back of the wall where we would all sit because it was for hours we were here. And all of a sudden, the children's church had released, and Quentin got put out to all the parents, and here I am on stage, so I got kids with me. I'm like, this is what I got. And the guest speaker, we were praying, and he was ministering to people, and I said, Quentin, stretch forth your hand and start to pray. And he stretched forth his hand to pray, and all of a sudden, the supernatural language came out of his mouth. About, I think it was a month later. Don't be discouraged. When we pray, we believe we received. You continue. I know others that had a dream at night with these words, and they woke up and they remembered the words. And when they spoke these words, they said, it sounded crazy. It sounded like a kindergartner talking. And we're like, that's the language. Faith, by faith, speak it forth. I only had one word and I just kept saying it over and over and over, and I probably looked like an idiot. But now it's different. My language grew. My relationship with Christ is bigger. I understand more and I give him more room because I believe and I have faith in what his word said. So I'm going to pray. Those of you that have Memorial Day gatherings, you're going to be able to get to go. But I'm just asking you today, if you need salvation and you want Jesus, come down. If you need healing in your body, especially migraine headaches, come down. God's here to heal. And number three, if you want filled with the Spirit and you want the evidence with the initial, the entrance of this gift, then come down. Father, we just pray for this service today. We pray for everyone going their way on weekend trips, graduations, Memorial Days. Father, those who have lost loved ones. Father, that have died serving our country. Father, let them feel special today, remembered, honored, memorialized. Today, Father, we thank you for this world we live in. We thank you for America. We thank you for the freedoms that we have. And Father, I just thank you that you would keep each of us safe. But Father, I thank you, Lord, that you would fill us. us with your Holy Spirit again. Father, those of us that have gotten stale in our faith, those of us that have allowed the Holy Spirit to become stagnant, that we've silenced his voice, that we've put him to the side. Maybe we've grieved him because we've not made room for him in our workplaces, in our family, because we've been fearful. Father, we repent. We repent just like Peter. Jesus looked at him and said, and when you've repented, then you will strengthen my people. God, we repent. And we ask you, Holy Spirit, come with your suddenly. Come with your words. Fill us again, Father. Fill us to topping. God, that we can be topped off with your Spirit, that we can hear you, that we can know you, that we can walk with you, that we will live with you, that we will respond when you want us to respond. God, that when you're grieved, we too would be grieved and walk away from what we're around. Oh God, give us more of you, for your church needs a greater dose of your Holy Spirit than ever before. It's the only thing we're allowed to covet is the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Father, we covet them. We desire them. We long for you to work in us and through us. Use us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Church, if you would, read chapters 8 through 14 next week as we begin our series on Acts. And if you're here for salvation, for an infilling, or for healing, come right down. God's here to meet you.